Welcome to the weekend edition of New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. This is a rebroadcast of previous New Life material, therefore we're not taking callers to the program today. But if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We made it to the weekend. Hi, friends. Hope you have a blessed weekend, in case I forgot to tell you that at the end of the show. Welcome to New Life Live, where you bring us your most challenging circumstances, and we address them with compassion, biblical wisdom, and clinical insights. And by we, I mean clinical psychologist Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Denham Keffer, who is a doctor of marriage and family therapy. I'm Brian, by the way. Nice to be with you today. Dr. Sherry, what you thinking?
I was thinking about a concept that actually already has a name to it. It's called betrayal blindness. And it's a concept by Dr. Jennifer Frey. And she wrote a book, While We're Fooling Ourselves. Well, the tagline is, While We're Fooling Ourselves, We're Not Being Fooled. It's called Betrayal Blindness, Blind to Betrayal. Now, what is it? Basically, it's when something happens that harms you in the area of deception, hurt, betrayal, and you, as a coping strategy, keep the secret from yourself. You were on a show together recently, and you mentioned Dr. Alice's concept of turning a blind eye. And the weird thing is that happens inside. Like, you may think, okay, well, I'm just going to not look. But actually, there's an emotional, it's a form of denial. It's not wanting to deal with it, not wanting to look, not wanting to have to experience the ramifications. Is if you really did see that, if you really did let that land, if you really did take that in, your life is going to change somehow. And I went through this with Connor in my marriage. He was a sex addict, and there was pornography that started in, which I think pornography is kind of the gateway drug into all kinds of forms of acting out in infidelity. And so I would ask him, I would say, hey, how you doing? Like, there was this inside wink, wink, how you doing? Which didn't really ask anything. It's so different than, when is the last time that you've looked at pornography? Now, that is owning my words. That's being very direct. That's causing somebody to either be truthful with you when you ask that, or it's going to force a lie. But either way, you're owning your reality. And you're not knowingly or unknowingly turning a blind eye. But because I was a pastor's wife, you know, it meant a lot. It would have meant us having to do something with the church, possibly, our friends. We had staff that would come into our house. We'd pray together. You know, we were doing life spiritually with a lot of other people that were on our team. And so betrayal blindness worked for me for about 4 years, until I ended up becoming depressed. It was a clinical depression. It's like my body started saying, there's something going on here that you're not looking at that you need to deal with. And that was my wake-up call. And so that reality is what woke me up, my depression, and I started to tell some of the people on staff, a pastor that worked there, and that started a whole bunch of dominoes. But again, betrayal blindness, it's a secret we keep from ourselves so we don't have to deal with the reality of the harm that's hurting us.
And if you've been betrayed, whether you're a man or a woman, we've got a webinar coming up next month. I'll tell you more about it a little bit later. Or you can just go to our website right now, newlife.com, and find out all about it.
Hi, it's Becky Brown, and I want to tell you about our upcoming webinar, From Pain to Peace. Have you ever experienced betrayal through a spouse, a partner, a parent or friend, or someone you deeply trusted? Betrayal cuts to the core, leaving emotional wounds that impact your identity, your relationships, and your faith. But you can heal. You can rebuild trust and regain your sense of safety and self-worth. This live event will walk you through the pain and into healing. It's hosted by myself, Becky Brown, and presented by licensed marriage and family therapist, Laura Manja McDonald. Laura will present for about an hour, and then we'll have a time of Q&A.
The From Pain to Peace Healing After Betrayal webinar is Thursday evening, February 26th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. Break free from trauma and emotional confusion and take real steps towards restoration. 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
And let's go right to the phones. Here is Renee, who is in Washington, D.C., listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 131. Hi, Renee. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hello. Hello. How's everybody doing?
Doing well, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. That I am calling because I've decided that it's time for me to leave, or I don't know about divorce or anything like that, but I've talked to a few people and just a little, and just listening to one of your previous callers, I get bits and pieces of, I got my answer here, and then bits and pieces of information from you guys, but nothing has really come up with this particular one that I've heard, and I do listen to you guys, so thank you very much. This is my second marriage. I've been married for almost a little over 30 some years. My first marriage was abusive physically. With this particular marriage, I went into it as if to say, okay, this is going to be the one. My friend, my soulmate, we can do things together, build together, and things like that. But we have not been, we're like roommates. Mm. And we've been like roommates for the past 20 plus years. We went to counseling, and the time that I really felt that there was something, and I kept thinking, and I would ask him what it was, what's going on, what's happening, and he would tell me it's his fault, not my fault. I would tell, you know, did I say something? What am I doing? And periodically over the years, it would be more like I would come fussing, I would come arguing, I would come crying. No matter what I did, it did not bring any kind of reaction. He just looked at me. Mm-hmm. And didn't say anything. So when I finally decided that we needed counseling, of course, that was during the pandemic, and I had to be home from work. And I just thought, I can't do this. Work seemed to give me an outlet, but then once I was home during the pandemic, I just couldn't. So we ended up going to 3 different counselors, even though he felt that he didn't need a counselor. Mm. But I knew I needed to do something. There's no hold handing. There's no encouragement. There's no let's get it together. The trash gets taken out. The grass gets cut. The lawnmower gets fixed. All of that. But there's no talk of us.
Yeah.
It's been a very cold and lonely 20 plus years. Through the counselors, yeah. Did you ever find out what it meant that it's his fault? Was there pornography, a medical issue, substance use?
No, for all 3 of them, they would ask him what it was, and he said he didn't want to talk about it. He was very short in his conversations, and all of them ended up saying, do you know that she went through a physical abuse but do you understand that she is now going through a mental abuse? You can't see the bruises. You can't see the scratch marks. You can't see the pain as she goes through, but there's pain in her heart and her mind. And he wouldn't say anything. He said, but he just kept saying that he didn't want to talk about it. Well, now I'm at the point, I've got to get out of here. I've got to, I have two older grown children from the first marriage, and I have one grown daughter from our marriage.
Yeah.
Renee, I wonder, when you bring up to him, I've reached my limit and I need to leave or divorce, how does he respond to that? I imagine he's still just shut down and might act like he doesn't care on the surface. Is that right?
Each time that I've addressed it, he said, well, you do what you have to do. That's his answer.
And
you do what you have to do.
Have you ever left before for a purposeful separation, a therapeutic separation?
No, even though one of the counselors did say, you need to leave for maybe just a couple months. Not a divorce, not even a little a legal separation, but get away and give him a wake-up call just to see what would happen.
And
I never did.
What stops you from doing that?
I guess being able to pick up and pack, because we're both very active in our church, and our church is small. And I'd have to, the ministry that I do, I'd have to pack up so many, it's just a lot, and having to answer to someone. It's like I'm afraid to let someone know. And even though someone does know, I've had friends and family that knows from the beginning for the past, and all of them go, I don't know how are you doing this? How are you staying in a house with someone that is not trying to nurture you? And I've even given scriptures, and he knows, the scriptures, love your wife, your husband, your family. He knows all of that. And he is also a church school teacher.
Mm. So in the small church community, it sounds like she's saying she doesn't want the whole congregation to know what's going on. And that's kind of keeping her in her mess, you could say. Sherry?
What's the age of those students that he's a teacher for?
Renee?
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Renee.
I'm here.
So he's a teacher in a Christian school, church school. How old are his students?
And actually, it's not the school, but just in my church. He's a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah. So kind of generally, what the age are the kids? What's the age?
He's an adult teacher. He's an adult. He's the adult teacher.
But he teaches other adults.
Not the children.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. You know, the Bible is really clear about people being in church leadership when they're not managing their own households.
Yeah,
you know that passage, right?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
And I've told him that.
I know.
And how do you teach someone? And I've also explained to him.
Let me say something.
Want to go to his.
Yeah, so let me say something. This is the challenge, is he's holding you hostage. Emotionally, psychologically, relationally, sexually. And remember we started the show today with betrayal blindness? And it's...
Yes, I listened to that.
Isn't it crazy? And I'm like...
She's answering my question.
Yeah, you are a sister of mine, right? Because I'm just rewinding the tape. Like this, you felt the big chip like 20 years ago. You were 50. And it's weird how... we can at 50 years old, right? You had a lot of life in front of you. You still have a lot of life in front of you at 70. But 50, you kind of are at this place where you're like, all right, I still got a lot of energy in me, and I'm not going to give up and all of that. But you have unknowingly, because of the betrayal blindness, protected him from his consequences. Do you know that, and I was trying to figure out who said this. I'm not going to own this as my phrase, but somebody said this. Silence is violence. Silence is violence. And I want you to write that down. Because what he's done is he's told you it's his fault. Right? It's my fault. It's his fault. He's going, it's my fault. It's not your fault. Okay. But what are you talking about? What have you done that would create a problem? Well, you've had three very good counselors try to crack code for him. And you know all that he has to do? It's very simple. He's silent. And silence is violence. It's psychological violence for you. There is a whole dark hole that this man has. And he's covering it up. And he's looking like he's walking around teaching other adults at church. And, you know, if God were to lance him open like he did Ananias and Sapphira, I have a feeling that your husband would probably fall to the ground. And that's a pretty strong judgment. Why am I being that bold with you? Because you can't live for over two decades without offering affection and not have some other secret basement that has bad stuff in there. Like men have sexual energy. They do, Brian, right? Men, they have that, whether it's holding a hand, whether it's being aroused, whether it's being... And I've sat with couples where there's been decades of shutdown, and I've looked at the husband and I said, you know, I'm just honest with him. I said, you know, guys have sexual energy. I want to know where that's going. Because your wife is starving over here. She's been starving for a couple of decades. And they don't like it when I probe. But this is the thing, is I'm right. Because then I, you know, we guide them in this thing called a therapeutic full disclosure and a polygraph. And you know what happens? I find out there's a lot of bad juju. That there's a lot of bad acting out that's gone there. But right now, you could say there's intimacy anorexia. You know, that's a term out there, and you're experiencing intimacy deprivation. But on the surface, you know, as Christians, we're like, well, is that grounds for divorce? He's put you in a hostage position because he's not being honest. And so I think the hardest thing for you to do is what I had to do with Connor, is I had to tell. And when people choose to say, well, I don't want to talk about it, that doesn't render you powerless. It just means that you have to make choices with somebody who's choosing to deceive you and not tell you what he's doing that's keeping you so disconnected from him. And it's not okay.
Alice?
So I'd suggest, Renee, having a conversation like this with your husband. I wish we could repair our marriage, but you haven't been willing to open up, and I'm at the end of my rope. I need to protect my heart from your withdrawal, so I'm going to be taking space away from you. If you decide you're willing to really work on us, start individual therapy, and have your therapist give me feedback after you've had a good number of sessions. And then, Renee, you'll strategically decide how to scaffold boundaries. And so it may start with emotional distance from him, sleeping in a different room, going to stay somewhere else, being polite but not having ongoing conversation with him. Because you have all these reasons why it's really hard for you to leave the house. So I would try scaffolding boundaries first under the guidance of a skilled therapist, and we can connect you with someone in our network. Because sometimes a man like this does start to change when he starts to lose you. But he's got to lose you in order for us to see if that would help.
Even though he told her, because I think she said that she's even said, I'm going to walk away and or divorce, whatever. And he was kind of like,
do what you have to
do. What you have to do.
But that's he's in the victim seat. He just went to victim and do what you're going to do. So he's manipulating you. It's putting the responsibility on you, which we always have 100% responsibility. But he's like, okay, I'm going to be a victim, even though I am doing something. I don't want to talk about it. That's a victim.
Yeah.
He's not taking responsibility for himself. And, you know, Ellerine, I think, is the woman you're talking about. And I hope you listen to that show. But Ellerine, she gave you hope, because that woman decided that she didn't want to be held hostage anymore. And I think that's why you went, hey, I need to call. I need to figure out how to get unstuck, because, you know, I'm living in a hostage environment with my husband.
And the thing about Ellerine, when she called on Wednesday's show, she was already divorced, uncoupled, etc.
Yeah.
So Renee's just trying to figure out, is that what I need to do? We'll be back on New Life Live.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating, because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is February 13th to the 15th in Orange County, California. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
Renee, if you're still on hold, oh good, you are. Stay on hold, because we're going to set you up with, connect you with a counselor through the New Life Network. And it would be so good if you and your husband could attend this Intimacy and Marriage Intensive that's coming up in just a few weeks, 2 weeks from now, in fact. And we think that, even you could benefit from this, you and your husband. Despite everything you've gone through in the last 20 of your 30 years married, there is still hope.
Because something that happens in those groups is that other men show what confession can look like and how healing it can be. And that modeling can sometimes break through to a man like your husband, Renee.
Yeah.
You know, I know this changes direction a little bit, but she's still here. Can we just ask her what she thinks?
Really?
Since
quick,
we
sure.
both said a lot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I, you know.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah. Can you just exhale with us based on the love that the three of us gave you? What's your thoughts?
Yes, I am. I wrote down, you know, the silence is violence, and the dependency, the betrayal, blindness. I've written just. I had a small little piece of paper that I've been writing on, but one thing that I did do, and this was just on this past Friday, that was the final. That was another conversation that I had again, and I said, we've done this, and I've gone through the whole thing. And that was when he still said, do what you have to do. So I feel really I had to cry while I was on hold, but you know, I'm feeling strengthened. You know,
good.
A little boost of trying to get. I am feeling strengthened, and thank you. No, I just think I do feel, and yes, I do want to be connected to the counselor because I do. I'm not sure if he's going to say, okay, well, let's see if we can try again. I don't think he's going to do that because out of the three counselors that we had, he still refused. He doesn't want to go. He's definitely that he is not going to go to a counselor.
The big difference may be if he loses you at some level. That might change his stance, and that's what you need to see. I'm so hesitant to recommend divorce because it's always disruptive, and sometimes it's the lesser of the two evils that you're facing. But I'd highly recommend trying the different levels of separation first before going towards a divorce. And I'm pretty literal on the Bible's stance on those two situations that divorce is permissible. And we don't know whether or not they apply to your situation. So proceed with caution.
And I think that's why there is something called a legal separation, right?
Yeah.
A legal separation is not a divorce. It's basically a hard line in the sand that says, I'm very serious. Yes, there's going to be some financial ramifications here. And sometimes it takes that, right? Mm-hmm. You start with the boundaries, like you layered in. But eventually, like that might just disrupt the apple cart enough so that you can clearly see what he's willing to do or not do. And but we're praying for you.
Yes.
I'm glad there were some tears. I'm glad we came back to you so we could hug your heart, post your tears. And we're with you. We're for you. And anyway, our love.
Keep Renee in your prayers, everyone. Let's talk to Gil, who is in Long Island, New York, and he listens to us with Alexa. Thank you
Amen.
So much for calling in today, Gil. How can we help you?
Well, I'm also blind and visually impaired, and I also suffer from ringing in my ears for a long time. But as a result of that, I learned to read the Bible in Braille in 91, and I got saved in 92. I play the piano. I live in a nursing home right now for the past couple of years. And I like the word that you used not too long ago, word life giver, and I want to be a life giver. I love that. I'm going to use that a lot now. It's so encouraging, you know, like the Bible says, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, as we read Hebrews 10:25. I don't want to be left in a shelf. How can I be used of the Lord to reach people here in the nursing home with the gospel? Most people are not interested in the Bible, and very few are, you know. How can I be a life giver?
Do you play hymns?
Yeah, I play, my favorite is, I taught myself by ear, God is so good, he's so good to me.
So you know what's, crazy, Gil? My mom, she had a spinal cord injury, so she is in a wheelchair, and she's like a sack of potatoes. We can't lift her, so she went into assisted living, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I go and see her often, and I will sit with her when they have a musician come in, like somebody who's singing or playing. Do you know what I notice about everybody's brains? They fire up when they hear music that they recognize.
Yeah.
I honestly,
That's
Gil,
right.
can think that if you were to go in and you were to play these hymns, you know what's going to happen. People are going to start singing and worshiping because their brains remember the hymns, so many of them. And so I would have you start with your talent that you already have and see if the person who's there in the director in charge of activities would allow you as one of the folks there to just do a 30-minute or 45-minute time during, you know.
Yes, yeah, I've done that sometimes. They have me do that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that is sharing the word. So, but what doesn't seem enough about that?
Well, I just want to make a difference in people's lives, not only for time but also for eternity. I want to get people saved, you know, born again, filled with the Spirit of God. I don't want to be in a shelf. I really want to be used of God, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future."
Yep, and we're going to talk to you in the future in just a couple of minutes here on New Life Live, but we got to take a break right now. Stay on hold, Gil.
my husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seemed to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Dallas, Texas, March 6th to the 8th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now. It feels so wonderful.
I had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. There's a place where real healing begins, where truth meets grace, and where transformation starts. New Life Recovery Groups offers a Christ-centered, supportive community for growth, healing, and restoration. Built on a proven 12-step foundation and grounded in biblical truth, these groups help bring clarity, accountability, and lasting hope for those who are ready for change. And when deeper personal guidance is needed, one-on-one coaching and counseling are available, walking with you every step of the way. Here, lives are renewed, stories are rewritten, and hope is restored. You're not alone. You're not judged. You're welcomed into a community that believes God is still at work in your story. Take the next step toward healing. Join a New Life Recovery Group today, online or in person. Visit newlife.com/groups or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find healing, find community, find new life. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go back to Gil, who's in Long Island. He wants to know how to be a life giver in this nursing facility that he's in. And he knew who to call, New Life, because we're all about giving life, new life. So what else would you guys recommend to Gil?
Well, Gil, I'm curious, who told you you were put on a shelf? Or at what points in your life did you feel like you were?
I don't know. I remember my pastor saying that years ago, and it frightened me a little bit, but I know he wasn't directing it to me. So I just said, I hope I never end up in a shelf. I just hope that God will use me as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the good news of the gospel through music or through memorizing scripture.
And what was one of the most difficult times in your life when you weren't able to be involved in an activity you wanted to be a part of, maybe because of blindness or whatever other reason held you back from it?
Well, basically, when they have games like bingo and stuff like that, and they usually have Braille sometimes, but they didn't have it, you know, because I didn't come on time exactly, whatever. So I remember feeling, you know, left out, even though I stayed in there for a while and stuff like that. And, you know, I just felt like I wasn't producing fruit, you know, and I, you know, talking to people about God, because a lot of people are not interested per se. But you know, another song that I love to play, that I taught myself how to play, is Silent Night, and that's a song that's familiar to some of the people. Uh-huh. Even though it's not Christmas, I celebrate Christmas 365 days a year, because, you know, I like King David says in Psalm 119 verse 71, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your decrees. If it wasn't for the ringing in my ears, I wouldn't be reading the Bible or interested in God's word and music and all of that. So, you know, and it says in Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, right? So, even though I'm suffering, I'm thankful to the Lord that I have a gift that I can use to touch people's lives. And I love that word, life giver.
Gil, it's palpable that you want to help and serve. You're putting a smile on my face as I'm listening to you, and I think you have that effect on a lot of people. But I know that when you're trying to save them, save their souls, and they reject it, then it can feel like, well, I'm not producing enough fruit here. So I want to recommend that you try three different things, and all these three things are for the purpose of evangelizing, but they don't look like it on the surface. One is to get curious about your fellow residents and to ask about their life stories.
The
second is to share your testimony, which you've been doing with us, so I know that comes naturally to you. Mm-hmm. And the third is to show them God's love while not yet quoting scripture to them.
Right.
Which is tricky. But I think that a good knowledge of scripture and that awesome ability you have to quote verses, it can be overwhelming for some people who don't have that full attraction or they don't have their feet in the faith yet.
Right.
And so I would be cautious not to lead with the great verses you know, but rather lead with listening. Lead with showing them your love, and when the time is right, share your testimony and see if with that angle you get a different reaction from people.
Yeah, like it says in James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So it's good to be a good listener as well.
Yeah.
In people's lives.
I love Dr. Alice. You know why? Because every time I'm on the show with her, she is probably the most practical of all of us. Like, you could take all of us put together. And then there's Alice, who gives you, like, real life steps. And I love that. Can I add one thing to your list of three to make it a four? There are some foursome, you know, things that you can do. I can't tell you how many tragedy sites I've been to where there's been a flood or there's been a hurricane, and I've been gone as a responder out to assist. And people in nursing homes are in a place in their life where everything has changed. And, you know, there's so many needs, even though it might not seem like that, but there's so many needs. There's a lot of loneliness. And the fourth thing I would add would be one thing. I would just ask people, once you're curious and you find out a little bit about them, I would say even before you share your testimony, ask them, can I pray for you? And do you know what? I can't tell you how many times I've been turned down because it's rare. I don't even have people are like, well, yeah. Can I pray for you? And then to keep it a simple, loving prayer, not to go into the, you know, four spiritual laws and how to come to know Jesus necessarily, but I just to start praying for their heart. And my dad worked in a nursing home, and he began to pray for people, and he led people to the Lord. But he entered through love and through praying for them. And then this is like a little trivia. I was looking at the clock because I want to be respectful of time. But I was in seminary, and I decided to do this thing while I was taking a class. I think it was on service, the class I was taking. And I decided to go into a home, you know, assisted living home. And I decided to wash people's feet. And that's all I did. I brought this little I had to check with the people at the front, like, you know, to make sure. I'm not even sure they let you do this these days, but I lived in Whittier, California, and I went to a nursing home, and I said, this is what I'd like to do. And they're like, why do you want to do this? I go, I want to serve, and I want to love people, and I'm not sure how to do it, but I just thought if I could just wash their feet. I had a line of people. They would sign up because they wanted to have their feet washed, because they don't even have people that touch them often, right? And so, you know, I took their little socks off, and I'm telling you, these poor feet, some of them were purple, some of them were, you know, and I couldn't do cutting their nails and all that. They wouldn't let me do any of that, but I put some really beautiful, nice-smelling soap in the water, and so the room was fragrant, and I just started with warm water washing their feet, and then I had to, you know, sanitize everything and the next person. But do you know, just touching them, and doing it where I had permission, right, washing their feet, opened up a lot of conversations for me to have. And weird how people sometimes, I call it like going through the side door. You know, instead of going through the front door and bringing the Bible verse, it's like going through the side door.
And doing the Bible verse.
And doing the Bible verse, you know. So anyway, little backstory, little trivia.
If you got that soapy water, I could use a foot washer.
You want to do it right now? I can do that. Let's see. Well, I didn't bring my little, you know, I have this little thing that's got a massager in it. But I'll remember that. I'll see when the next time you are here, Alice.
Yes, we'll check the schedule for February and see when you two are on together. We'll do it here live on the show. Gil, I also want to encourage you that you've just provided life to everyone listening and watching New Life Live right now, because they see you in the situation you're in. You're in this assisted living facility, and you want to share life with other people. And there's the rest of us who are not in the situation. And what can we do to show love and show encouragement and be the hands and feet of Jesus to the people around us? So I think you've encouraged us, because if Gil can do it, any of us can do it, right?
And I think when we can grow from self-centeredness to other-centered, which is very difficult to do, that God fulfills our desire for contentedness and purpose. We think, if I get what I want for me, then I'll be happy. But it is not true. And the famous and the rich tell us that. But it's the ones who serve like you, Gil, that do feel and can feel those moments of joy and contentedness, because that's really what we were made for. So thank you for modeling that for us, Gil.
For sure. Thanks for calling in today, Gil, to New Life Live. And we're going to pray for you that the Lord will open doors, side doors even, to help people there in the nursing facility that you are in. God bless you, brother. This is New Life Live. I'm Brian Perez here with Dr. Sherry Denham Keffer and Alice Benton. And your gift to New Life helps carry hope to the hurting, meeting real needs with real help right when it matters most. You're joining in what God is doing through this ministry when you make a gift of any size. You can give online at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can text NLM to 28950. Thank you for whatever you can do. Any gift matters. Small gifts, large gifts, in-between gifts, monthly gifts, one-time gifts. You can do whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do. You know, because we have helped a lot of people just this week alone. I mean, I have the list in front of me of all the different people that have called in that we have helped. You've heard these calls, and you've taken it upon yourself to pray for these people. And there are so many more that are hurting. Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands that need to hear the life-giving truth of Jesus and also to heal in their lives, to turn around. And God has given us new life, but at the same time, people think, oh, that's for in heaven. Someday I'm going to be in heaven. That's going to be great. My life is going to be great. But your life can be great now while you're still on earth as you continue to minister to the people around you, just like Gil. So you can help us do that by contributing. You can go to newlife.com. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or text NLM to 28950. Whatever you can do helps. Thanks.
My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. In 2012, I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. The Every Man's Battle Intensive is being held online as a one-day event Saturday, February 28th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
Every Man's Battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live.
or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now back to New Life Live.
Brian Perez here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Denham Keffer. And if you missed the beginning of the show today, good news, we archive all of our episodes on newlife.com, on YouTube, on the New Life app. Sherry started today's show by talking about something called betrayal blindness, and that reminds me, and I mentioned earlier that I was going to tell you about it later. I didn't forget. Thank you, Lord. The From Pain to Peace webinar is coming up in just a few weeks, February 26th. If you've experienced betrayal through a spouse, partner, parent, friend, or someone you deeply trusted, you know it's one of the deepest wounds a person can experience. It can make you feel confused, angry, numb, stuck. New Life walks with people through their pain toward real healing. And on February 26th, write that date down, find it on your phone right now, put a note in there. New Life will be hosting a live Zoom webinar called From Pain to Peace, Healing After Betrayal. It's hosted by Becky Brown and presented by licensed marriage and family therapist LMM, Laura Manjan McDonald. This faith-based event offers practical guidance, biblical encouragement, and clear next steps for anyone, men or women, who are navigating betrayal. If you'd like more information on this webinar and a free tip sheet on betrayal, you can text the word webinar to 28950. Webinar is Latin for "we bring our." Did you know that? I'm kidding. That's not what it means.
You just got me.
Webinar, we bring our. No, it's like a seminar, but it's on the World Wide Web, hence the word webinar. We bring it to you. Don't have to go anywhere. Just log in. You can sign up now at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or like I said, text webinar to 28950, and you'll get a free tip sheet, too.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Looks like we've had
February 26th, by the way, is also the date. Don't forget that. So here's a question that was sent in online through newlife.com/radio. Want to read this one? It's from CJ in Illinois, who writes, "What can I do to stop being affected by profanity? I'm dealing with an aversion to profanity, which affects my daily life. When I go out in public, I use noise-canceling headphones or earbuds to prevent hearing profanity. I struggle with it, also from a moral reason, since profanity is a sin. I've heard of exposure therapy, but I honestly don't want to force myself to listen to those words. Can I learn to stop responding as I have? My responses are not too extreme, but I'm still terrified. What can I do to help myself to want to work on this? I want to be strong for my future spouse if God wills me to get married." What do you guys say to CJ?
Oh, CJ, hearing that you're terrified and have to protect your ears when you go out, I'm concerned for the level of anxiety that you live with. Mm. And so if I got to work with you, I would dig into the fear, and I would ask you, what are you worried will happen? If you hear profanity, do you think it's a sin to hear it? Are you worried for the people that are swearing? What are you afraid will happen to them? Because it sounds like it gets you dysregulated. And it, although I also disagree with profanity and I don't want to be around it, it seems like the possibility of hearing it dictates some things about your life. And so that and the fear of it have a lot of authority and power over you. I would imagine there's a very significant history. Maybe there was someone in your life who used a lot of profanity, mistreated you, made you feel unsafe in a variety of ways. And so I'd also want to process through related history, because I think when we're in the sanctification process, God builds us up to be able to minister to other people, sometimes to be called to people who are deep in sin that maybe we've been saved from, to bring his love to them. So I both want you to have a freer life, and I don't want this to impair your ability to relate to people who are around you. So treatment for anxiety, treatment for the history that's related to your worries about profanity, I think would help.
What's this exposure therapy that CJ mentions?
Well, let me just share with you a little bit, CJ. I'm so glad you reached out. I think this has mostly to do with your brain. You're kind of on the right track, right, Dr. Alice, when you were talking about the anxiety. There's some people's brains that their brains not only are an anxiety, but it's like they're it's race car anxiety. It's turned up very high, where these brains become uber focused on one thing that is distressing to them. And so then what happens is your brain requires some type of action or ritual in order to try to combat that anxiety. I think you may have one of the subtypes of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, I'm not diagnosing you because I don't even know you, CJ, right? But I just want to give you some information to probably look into. And the subtype is actually called scrupulosity. And it's there's nothing wrong with you. There is a brain inside of you. You have an amazing heart and you want to be in a relationship. Yet there is a brain inside of you that is turned up really high on issues when it comes to religion, profanity, you know, what moral things, right or wrong. And so learning, getting specific treatment from somebody who specializes in OCD and somebody who specifically understands how to treat scrupulosity will probably be a faster track for you. Because intuitively you're like, well, does this mean exposure therapy? Like, I just need to sit and listen to it. Do you know, we've got a OCD place near me. It's called Gateway OCD Clinic. And I refer a number of people there because they've got things called acceptance and commitment therapy. They have a whole array of tools that are used specifically for your brain type. So my recommendation would be to drill that down, look at scrupulosity, and if it makes sense to you, check out somebody in your area. Maybe just stay online and see if there's one of our therapists that has been specifically trained in some of these interventions. Yeah. And I just know I refer out because I'm not specifically trained in that, right? Mm-hmm. So for me to do traditional forms of therapy with somebody with scrupulosity who's wearing headphones out because they don't, you know, it's uncomfortable for cursing, I might be able to drop a pedal in your pond, and it might take some months or even years to try to get some headway. But when I refer them out to Gateway, people get on a healthier track much quicker.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure they're in the best care.
Yep. Any other thoughts, Alice?
Well, exposure therapy is a process of desensitization where you are taught both calming and coping techniques to regulate your body. And little by little, you face some of the things that you're afraid of. Usually you start with just imagining the things that you're afraid of while calming your body down. And then you pair it with higher and higher levels of exposure until you can be exposed to your fear and still stay regulated. So it may be helpful, but try these recommendations first.
CJ, thank you for submitting your question to us online at newlife.com/radio. We've got a few ways that you can submit your question, either as an email or as a voicemail, in case you can't call in when we are here in the studio recording shows. newlife.com/radio. And homeschool moms, you learned a new word today for your students, scrupulosity. You can use that in your spelling test or your, you know, vocab or whatever, see if your kids can use that word in a sentence. Scrupulosity. It's spelled S-C-R. I don't even know if I spelled it right. Look it up. Scrupulosity. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you at church on Sunday, and then we'll be back with you on Monday here on New Life Live. Dr. Sherry Denham Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton, always great to be in the studio with you guys. Can't wait to do it again. We'll talk to you all on Monday here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.